Another Wednesday, another Arkansas loss, another edition of the Showgram. Adam Alter from the Razorback Nation here with Chris Bond of ArkansasSports360.com. And Chris, all I need from you today is to smile!
I am smiling.
Smile!
Oh, we're not doing the show?
Are you smiling? Because if you are smiling. All right, smiling. You're smiling,
now.
We can do the show.
I wasn't the other day.
I wasn't either. And
I was terrified.
I couldn't believe that was real life, sitting in that room. I remember walking into that press conference with Robbie Nyswanger, a friend of ours, another media member, and I said to Robbie, this is going to be an interesting press conference. I don't know why. I don't know what directions it's going to go, but something interesting is going to happen today. And right out of the chute, John L. goes on some smiling, shouting rampage. Chris, WTF was that?
It was unusual. The more we're around John L., and he's been the head coach since April, I guess late April. There are October, November, December. There are about 3.5 months left on his 10-month contract. And so we're 6.5 months in, and the more I'm around the guy, the more I begin to realize that the jokes and the antics – I'm pretty sure are a defense mechanism. And so he's trying to disarm everyone. And you know, in the beginning, it was kind of daffy and, you know, people liked it. But now it just seems to be really damaging to him and to the program. I mean, you're seeing it, you know. I mean, we posted a video of the smile rant on Arkansas Sports 360. And it winds up getting retweeted by, you know, national college football writers. Mm-hmm. You're listening to sports talk radio, national guys.
Yeah.
And it's popping up on there. It was on the Today Show, apparently.
Oh, was it? I didn't know
that. Yeah, MSNBC picked it up for their morning show, I'm told. I mean, it's everywhere. And, you know, it's not exactly what Arkansas fans envisioned when they thought this year would be one that the national media was paying attention to.
Yeah, I'm watching the Scott Van Pelt show today on their telecast, and Ryan Rosillo's having a ball, just making fun of this, playing the sound bites. I'm listening to Jim Rome on my way here to meet you. He opened his show. The first thing he talks about is making fun of John L. and his smile shouting. This, to me, says it all about John L. There's a disconnect between him and this fan base. And to be honest, with the way this thing has gained momentum and become a national talking point, it really makes me feel sorry for Hog fans, even more so than what's happening on the field, because this is just rubbing salt in an open wound.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel bad because, I mean, Arkansas fans have endured a lot over the years. A buddy of mine, George Schroeder, that's at USA Today now, wrote a column when he contributed for another outlet last year and traced he wrote it, I guess, back in April, and traced the Hog fans' misery to Frank Broyles' dog.
What?
The 69 shootout, the most famous loss in Arkansas history.
Right.
Nixon or who, you know,
yeah,
the
Nixon
president
was
in town. Billy Graham was here, did the invocation before the game. It was on ABC back when, you know, being the college football game on TV really meant something. You know, they weren't Tuesday night games. There was one college football game
right.
a week. Arkansas, Texas was it. Billy Graham's in town. Frank Broyles' dog bit Billy Graham's kid at a breakfast. And so, you know, Arkansas loses that game, and then it has just seemed to be one calamity after another, particularly with football. Arkansas gets really close, and then, you know, stuff like Bobby's motorcycle wreck happens. And so George traces it all back to Frank's dog and Billy Graham. I don't know what you can trace it back to, but I do know that Arkansas fans are a long-suffering bunch.
Yep.
Who have endured a lot, and this, as you point out, is just one more kind of kick to the nether regions.
So is this like the curse of the billy goat for the Cubs? We have the curse of Frank Broyles' dog.
Yes.
Is now the cause of everything bad that's ever happened to Arkansas football, from what's happening now back through Houston Nutt, back through all the way to 69 yep. shootout, huh?
Yeah, it's all traced back. George traces it. George is an Arkansas native and has written a book about the Razorbacks, and he traces it back to Billy Graham's kid getting bit by Frank's dog. I mean, it makes as much sense as any other explanation.
Here's what makes sense to me. John L. is cuckoo. He's just an odd duck. He's a weird cat. I'm beginning to, you know, comparing that, the press conference back to back. First we talked to John L., then we talked to Tyler Wilson. Which one was the coach and which one had the injury above the shoulders, Chris? Because Tyler sits up there, speaks like a politician. Very well spoken, understands the role of the media, understands why we're asking questions that we're asking, and understands how to answer those questions honestly and informative. John L., total opposite. John L. answers questions but doesn't really reveal anything. It's a lot of coach speak. And, of course, there's the weird antics. It's just – it's not – you mentioned that's kind of who it is, and that's how he's been since he got here. Yeah, his opening press conference when he was introduced, sure, I laughed. It was funny when he called Aaron Peters fat and sloppy. You know, right. Come his second press conference, I was tired of it. Stop making jokes and winking. You know, after the Alabama game, Tom Murphy, another writer, asks him, when did you really know Tyler wouldn't play in the game? John Hall says, you want me to lie to you or you want the honest answer? It's like, are you serious right now? You just got killed 52-0, and you're winking and making jokes about you want me to lie to you.
Right.
What is that?
Well, something has to change, and I wrote about this for my Tuesday column, and I'll make sure to link it with the show lineup. But basically, this whole idea that Arkansas needs to make a coaching change, and I know we're going to get into this a little bit later.
Get into it right now.
I think that's silly. I think it's beyond silly. I think it's a panic move. You're committed to this year. But when I say that to say this, but something does have to change with John L. And I hope he and Jeff Long have had that conversation. And I know a lot of people got excited on Sunday because someone spotted Jeff and John L.'s cars at the Broyles complex at the same time, which, by the way, happens every Sunday.
Like right, that, he tapes a show on Sundays, his TV show.
That's not unusual. I mean, Jeff, sports is not a Monday through Friday 8-to-5 gig.
Right.
So Jeff is up there working. It's not unusual, you know, before he goes to church with the family or the farmer's market or whatever they do, you know, he goes in and works. I do hope that either then or after the Smile press conference that John L. and Jeff have sat down and Jeff has said, look, this is a very grave situation. We have millions of dollars at stake right now, and we really need you to chill out with this. However, I have zero confidence after watching Twitter today, mm-hmm. that Jeff is even aware of the gravity of the situation because he's tweeting every day. It's a great day to be a Hog fan. Every day is a great day to be a Hog fan. That to me is someone who is either A, completely out of touch with how upset people are, or B, someone who is going out of his way to troll and poke fun at the upset fans.
You think Jeff Long's trolling on Twitter?
He's either out of touch or he's trolling. Is there a third option?
I think he's trying to do spin control right now. He's trying to – I agree with you. It probably wasn't the best way to go about it because
right.
You know what? Monday was not a great day to be a Hog fan with their coach looking like a fool. Saturday against Alabama was not a great
terrible.
Day to be a Hog fan. The Saturday before against ULM,
terrible.
Also not a great day to be a Hog fan.
Squeaking past Jacksonville State, not a particularly good day.
No. I mean, it was an okay day. You still got to win, and it's the only one you have this season. But we agree. We've discussed this multiple times off air. I've discussed it with plenty of media members. Firing John L. at this point in the season pretty much accomplishes nothing. It's not going to erase the losses from the record. It's not going to turn them into wins. And frankly, it may not change the record going forward. It may not. The bottom line is, let's say you do fire John L., then what? There's no one you can bring in. You're not going to bring in an unemployed coach right now to mend the fences. and promoting an assistant, first of all, it just adds more to their workload. You know, you only have a limited amount of coaches. Now you want to double somebody's workload and put all the head coaching responsibilities on top of them. More importantly, which assistant would you promote? There's not a unit on the team that is succeeding enough that you could say, this guy's doing a good job, put him in charge.
Let me ask you this, too. First of all, I think it's a ridiculous move. And as I've said before, okay, let's say that Jeff makes the decision to replace John L. before the Rutgers game, okay? Let's say the smile rant was the last straw.
Well, I don't think it was. I hope it would have happened on Monday.
It wasn't going to be, but let's say that happens, okay? And let's say, okay, Arkansas wins. Let's say Arkansas beats Rutgers, okay? Then they wind up, let's say they lose to Rutgers. They go on the road. They lose at A&M. They lose at Auburn. You're sitting in the bye week, what, 1-5? Or 1-4?
With
one
an
and
interim
five?
Interim.
With an interim? Do you now go for the interim? And again, who on – look, this – I don't think we're getting the best effort from the players and the coaching staff. I think they are better than what we've seen up to this point. But I do think it is a fair question to ask. Who on earth on this staff would you want to entrust this team to? Other than maybe Tyler Wilson.
Let me make one counterpoint to your argument there, because yes, replacing John L. may not prevent them from being 1-5 at the bye week, and then you're talking about, do we replace the interim? I don't care about that. Here's what I do care about. If Jeff Long chooses to replace John L., regardless of who he puts in that position to be the quote-unquote head coach and represent the team, I guarantee you he will not be going on smile rants. And he will handle this situation far better than John L. is handling it.
Yeah, but he'll have his own little idiosyncrasies that will get magnified with every loss.
But he's not going to stir the pot. And this fan base is disgusted by John L. right now. They hate him. And all he did was make it worse on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, we know the really vocal fans. We know Message Board Joe.
Sure.
and Talk Show Radio Pete. We know they're mad. We know they're mad as hell, and they're embarrassed. And they're going to start 25 threads and call every show in the state, you know, to talk about it. Are the paying customers upset?
Who wouldn't be upset right now? They're 1-2, and they've been embarrassed 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, but there are different levels of upset or embarrassed. I think people – you know, nobody is happy with the situation, but I don't. You know, I think people who are actually the paying customers who, you know, are putting money into this football ops center. I think when you talk to those folks, yes, they're frustrated. I don't know that they're. I think they see the big picture and realize that Jeff's attention needs to be on the big picture and. It all goes back to, and I'm going to use this phrase, then I'll explain what I mean. I had an old friend of mine growing up in the newspaper business who used to talk about there's no sense in swatting at gnats when horse flies are circling your head. And basically what that means is focus on the big picture. Don't get so bogged down in the little stuff. And at this point, with a full-time head coaching hire ahead of him, the 2012 season is somewhat of a gnat for Jeff Long. Like, yes, it's annoying and it needs attention, but Jeff really needs to, A, get off Twitter, and two...
Troll.
And two, he needs to be looking at coaching candidates. He needs to really be evaluating what's going on. It's my understanding he had conversations with a couple candidates before the season started. He needs to continue evaluating guys, talking with agents, getting coaches packets and plans for Arkansas football, you know, as he can throughout the season, because these guys are obviously busy. But that's where I think Jeff's attention needs to be, is on the big picture. And I think the sensible fans, I think they get that there's a bigger thing at stake here. And the decision is made for 2012. The coach is the coach.
Yeah.
So you just got to move on now, and I mean, be pissed off, but I mean, what can you do at this point?
I want to take this conversation a step further, but let me go back and make one more point before we kind of transition into this. We've said it. I'll say it one more time. We both agree firing John L. doesn't make a lot of sense. Let me take that one step further. If this Saturday against Rutgers, Arkansas loses again in some sort of an embarrassing fashion, two or three touchdowns, not they don't look competitive on the field, they somewhat give up in the second half, Jeff may have no choice but to remove John L. because I don't. He'll be booed literally start to finish every time he's in the public eye. I'm afraid somebody's going to burn his house down with the way things are going because he's getting embarrassed and then he's coming out on Monday acting like nothing happened and making jokes. If they get embarrassed again, Jeff really may have no choice. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree. It is what it is. I mean, the season is what it is, and you made your choice in April, and at the time it seemed like a good move. I don't know what making a change accomplishes. And here's the other thing that you run into. Okay, you fire John L., you promote somebody on staff. Let's say they get you to 8 wins. Then you got to hire that guy, and you have nothing to suggest that guy would be able to move you forward.
I disagree. If they put – I'm picking a coach at random. They put Tim Horton in charge going forward, and they turn out to win 8 games, that does not mean you make Tim Horton the head coach. I don't think people would make that argument.
Oh, there were people that – yeah, there would, yes. I mean, there were a lot of people put – and you picked Tim. I know you're just picking that name at random. There were a lot of people making that push to begin with. So, you know, I just think you've made your decision for this year, so ride it out and focus more on the big picture stuff. Do the damage control behind the scenes. Get off Twitter. If you're going to be on Twitter, don't do stuff that fans are going to consider to be trolling.
All right, so let's talk about the big picture because obviously a big hire needs to be made come December. I don't think we need to sit here and list off coaches that are realistic possibilities, but let's do talk about coaches that are not possibilities because I feel like there's a portion of this fan base, and maybe we're getting back to talking about message board Jim and talk show Todd, that doesn't quite have a full grasp on where this job is as far as in the grand scheme of coaching jobs. Is it a good job? Yeah, it's a good job. Is it a great job? Maybe. Is it a really great job? Absolutely not. And here's why. Not only are you competing in the toughest conference in America, you're competing in the toughest division of the toughest conference in America, and you're at a significant recruiting disadvantage to 4 other teams within your own division. Auburn, Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M have recruiting advantages over Arkansas. This is a very difficult job. Not saying they can't make a great hire because they can. But Pete Carroll's not giving up the Seahawks job to come back to college and coach Arkansas, okay? John Gruden's not going to give up $4.5 million a year to work one day a week on Monday Night Football to come coach Arkansas. Let's at least be realistic here.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to address one point. And I agree with you. I mean, Arkansas is in the toughest division and the toughest conference in college football. But the guy that you bring in here, you want him to know that and to be motivated by that.
Absolutely.
And if there's a guy on the tail end of his career or a guy at the beginning of his career that looks at that and says, well, I want no part of it, well, he probably doesn't have the competitive fire that you need for this job. You know, you need to be successful in this job. Bobby had that. And Bobby got other people convinced that Arkansas could do that. And this makes people mad every time I say it, but it is reality. To have finished at the midway point of your half of the conference and to be considered a top 5 team in the country last year after losing to the 2 teams ahead of you in your half of the conference by a combined 48 points is nothing short of a remarkable marketing job. Bobby and the U of A did a great job of marketing the program, getting people convinced that it belongs. You need a guy like that who is convinced that Arkansas belongs in the same conversation with LSU and
Alabama
and whoever else. So I don't disagree with you that makes the job difficult. I don't think that's going to turn off a quality candidate. You have to wonder, does the recruiting disadvantage, is it countered by the fact that Arkansas has – top 10 money to spend for a head coach, top 20 money to spend for assistants, and top 10 to 15 money that they're putting into the facilities. Does that counter everything? And that's why I think everybody needs – that's why I think Arkansas needs a guy who can recruit. They need a salesman in this job.
And here's the thing. Bobby, like you just made a great point that how they did a good job marketing the program. A lot of that good publicity has already been wiped off the board based on what's happening with the record and what's happening with John L.'s goofiness. Let's not ignore one point. As good of a coach as Bobby Petrino was, he didn't really recruit all that well here, okay? And some of that's evident right now on the field. They basically have one true linebacker on the whole team that plays in Alonzo Highsmith, and he was a JUCO guy, okay? But you got a smorgasbord of wide receivers who are sitting on the bench watching. Did Bobby prove he could take 2- and 3-star kids and make them into quality SEC players? Yes, he did, on multiple occasions. But that's a hard way to win. And you need somebody that can come in here with a great personality, can win in the living room, because this recruiting class that's freshman right now should have been Bobby's best. You're coming off back-to-back 10 and 11 win seasons. You went to a BCS bowl. You dominated a Cotton Bowl. You finished number 5 in the country. It was probably his worst class that he signed here. Not that he couldn't have been great. He was in on a lot of big-time recruits down the stretch. Doyle Green Beckham, Courtney Gardner, Devontae Neal. Didn't get one of them.
I don't –
The big lineman from – who was that big –
Jordan Diamond.
Yeah, Diamond.
I don't disagree with your overall point. The program should have been in better shape in year 5 than it is now. I think the class they signed in February, though, is one of their best classes.
You really think so?
Yeah, I think it's a lot better than it was 09 or 10 that's just been an absolute abomination. It's a reason you don't have depth in the offensive line. It's a reason you don't have depth at linebacker, quality playmakers in the secondary. They struggled, and I apologize for not being able to remember. But the overall larger point is they should have a lot more depth built at this point in the process than they do, and you're starting to see that play out on the field. I mean, they don't have the quality depth. We were beginning to see that last year, Adam. I mean, we were beginning to see, the gap widen with LSU and Alabama, 24 points loss in each one of those games. And that's – the gap had grown. Now, Arkansas is going to have to hope that those guys go on a little bit of a downward cycle so they can get back into the mix, because they were there for a couple years, and then the gap widened. It's even wider this year. I still think that a quality coach can be attracted to this job and can come in and can make this a competitive football program. I mean, I do. I think this is a job that can attract a good guy, but it's not going to attract. I mean, Bob Stoops isn't leaving Oklahoma, as you mentioned. Gruden's not leaving the Monday Night Football booth, working, calling one football game a week. He does more crap, but nothing that could be compared to the workload that being a head coach would be. And by the way, while we're on the Gruden thing, he has 3 years of experience in college football.
As an assistant.
One is a graduate assistant, one is a quarterback's coach, and one is a wide receiver's coach at some place called University of the Pacific. How has he become this sexy name in college football?
Because he won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
But he has no experience. Anyway, he's not coming, but I think a quality coach is going to come and can help build the program.
But it may have to be an up-and-coming assistant. It may have to be the Kirby Smart or the whoever. It's not going to be Bob Stoops. It's not going to be Nick Saban. Okay? I want the fans to be prepared that they may initially be disappointed with the name they hear. It doesn't mean the name that comes in isn't going to be good. Just don't be swinging for the fences right now. I don't think it's very smart to get your hopes up for something that is a 1% chance of happening.
Right.
All right, so where do we go from here? We got the Rutgers game.
Yeah. It's a winnable game if Tyler Wilson plays.
And I think he will play. He fully practiced on Tuesday, had no limitations. After practice, Paul Pacino said he wasn't cleared yet, but he also said he was just taking it day by day. And we don't even know if Tyler's getting those tests that he takes every single day or not. But at this point, unlike last week, all indications point to him playing on Saturday. That doesn't guarantee a win, but it certainly makes it a lot more promising. But more importantly, the effort and the urgency need to be there, and we saw some of that in the post-practice interviews yesterday. Paul Pacino came out, had a look in his eye that I really liked. At one point, he's making a point, and he slammed his hand on the podium to emphasize the point. I like that. I get the feeling that people are finally on this team having the desperation that is required to bounce back from these losses.
Yeah, it's great to see, because I think Tyler Wilson was right, but Tyler doesn't need to be the only guy who is calling out teammates and to some extent calling out the coaches. And I love, not to spend too long on Tyler's comments, but I love what he said on Monday, you know, when he said, look, I did this for the fans. I had said what I was going to say to my teammates, and he met with them later in the weekend. But when he came out and did that press conference, he said, look, that was for the people of Arkansas. I'm an Arkansas kid, and I wanted y'all to know, essentially I'm paraphrasing, but I wanted y'all to know how upset I am and how this isn't acceptable. And I realize that because I'm one of y'all. And I love that moment. And it was good to see Paul Pacino step up and take some ownership and talk like a guy who's invested beyond, you know, today. Although his focus is now, it's very narrow, and they've ripped the schedule down in the weight room, and all that's left is Rutgers, and then I guess next week it'll be A&M, and then Auburn, and then bye.
Bye. We got to beat bye this week. We got to beat that bye.
But they,
I heard bye's favorite, actually. It's going to be ugly.
Might as well. I mean, can you blame them?
No.
So, you know, the focus is very narrow. They're really trying to zero in on this week. But I thought Paul sounded like a guy who's invested in the season. And that was good to see, because they need that. And they need more out of the team's leaders. Being a team leader is more than getting a free trip to New York City and having your picture made and doing a couple video interviews. And it's more than, you know, stopping and giving people your autograph when they see you at Walmart. Or you know, having a few thousand followers on Twitter. And I don't feel like, I mean, we don't know about Tyler because he hadn't played, but a lot of the other leaders on this team, I feel like, have just kind of disappeared up to this point. And that's got to get corrected if they want to turn the season around.
Let's talk about Nile Davis, because he was the other guy that went to New York. He's the other guy that got paraded around as a Heisman candidate, and he's done pretty much nothing in three games. Now, I'm not going to put 100% of the blame on him, because we've all watched the games and we've all seen some pretty poor run blocking from this line. But, you know, when asked very directly yesterday about Nile Davis, Paul Pacino said he has to play better. I know it. He knows it. We all know it. He has to play better. I asked Nile personally, how would you evaluate performance yesterday? All he said was bad, not good. What's going on? Now, one of the guys I work with at Razorback Nation, I'm not going to name him because he may not want this out there, believes Nile Davis is an overrated player. That what he did in 2010 was more coincidence than fact, because he didn't do anything until the second half of the schedule when teams were a little more tired and the passing game was so wide open. What's your take? What's up with Nile?
I do think this is a very important thing to point out. And I mentioned this to someone who's in the media and a former running back at Arkansas, and he kind of scoffed. But people forget, I think, in 2010, the quarterback was Ryan Mallett, who had one of the, if not the strongest arm in college football that year.
Yes.
Safeties were playing 10 yards further back than what they are right now. And I'll give Jim Harris from Arkansas Sports 360 credit for that. He's the first one that had kind of mentioned that to me, but he is correct. Safeties were playing further off the line of scrimmage than they are now. And so Nile had a little more running room. There was more of the threat of pass at the time.
And that offensive line was better than this.
Oh, and that offensive line was so much better.
DeMarcus Love and Ray Dominguez, yes, and Grant Cook, and those guys were good. I think Swanson and Bailey were playing. I mean, that's a good line.
That was
wasn't a great line,
right,
but it was a pretty darn good line.
Yeah, it was a lot better line. I do think Nile's got some great physical tools. I think he has skills to be a really good running back. But I think defenses are prepared for him now. He was a little bit of a mystery. And this is why, and if people can go back to the very first showgram we did, or maybe this one didn't see – it may have been the test run. But I've said, and I've been on record, the reason Marcus Lattimore got more love is because he had a bigger body of work for people to see than Nile Davis did. Davis had a 7-game body of work the back half of one season. That's why he didn't get more love in the preseason. And we're starting to see that he's got a ways to go before he's in that Marcus Lattimore elite running back category.
And I'll tell you one thing. If Tyler's not on the field, Nile's never going to do anything, because we just haven't seen from either of the backup quarterbacks that they can establish enough of the passing game to push those safeties back out of the box and to open up some more running lanes. Now, if Tyler comes out and stays healthy the rest of the year, which I'm sure everybody's crossing their fingers for, you know, maybe he will establish that passing game and open that space. But I'm not sure how much I trust this line to open a hole for him to run through. They're opening holes he's having to sidestep through just to fit. I think his longest carry of the year, I think, is 15 yards or maybe 17. That's not good at all.
No. No, it's not. And that's something from very early on that Paul Petrino talked about. He wanted to see longer runs from Nile, thought they would be coming. But part of that is, I mean, the offensive line has got to give him holes to run through. And he can't – I mean, it can't it's just not I mean, it's just not happening right now. Well, I think he's running timid, maybe because he's coming off of injury, but also because he knows that there's almost no hole for him to run through. If they can get him going, and if they can give Dennis Johnson the football at some point.
Dennis is always in the doghouse, always in the doghouse. And when you talk to people that used to play on the team, it's because of his attitude. Dennis just has an attitude, and he's always in the doghouse. So the few times in his career when he's been the feature back, he has produced. And even other times when he's not the feature back, he still makes the most out of his carries. But
when he hangs on to the ball,
he has major fumbling problems. He fumbled on Saturday on that kickoff. But it's not like the holes are going to be any bigger for Dennis than they are for Nile. And some of this needs to fall on Bobby. We talked about how he didn't recruit enough on defense. He didn't recruit enough on the line. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys he did recruit on the line didn't pan out. You mentioned that 2010 class as being poor. I just pulled it up. Remember the name Cam Felt? He was supposed to be one of the prize products of that class, a 4-star lineman out of Texas. He's not even in the program anymore. He left. You know? And one of the guys that was supposed to be in this class that Arkansas was a finalist for, his name's Luke Jockel. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? He's about to be an All-American for Texas A&M, and he's been starting since he was a freshman. Another example of Bobby not being able to close the deal with some of the big-time recruits. But if this team can't run the ball going forward, and they couldn't run it against ULM. So
right.
I wonder how well they're going to run it against Rutgers or anybody else that's left on the schedule. But if they can't run the ball, they're just not going to win. They're just not going to, because the defense isn't going to keep the score low enough.
Right. And the defense is going to be – I mean, the defense has been bad, okay? And I laughed when people said, oh, well, Arkansas played so much better defensively last week against Alabama.
For a quarter.
Sort of. I mean, they still gave up like almost 7 yards per play.
Yeah.
That average would have been a lot higher, but Arkansas's offense wound up giving them a really short field with turnovers. So,
well, yeah, the other argument I kept hearing was, yeah, they only gave up those points because the offense kept putting the defense in a bad spot. They still gave up 438, I think, is the number.
Right.
438 yards.
So I do – I mean, on some level, with five turnovers, with that terrible punt snap that we can all trace back to John L.'s ridiculous decision to put a guy who had never been a deep snapper before, they put him in the game to deep snap. So the defense I mean, the defense got hung out to dry, but the defense has not been very good. So the offense has got to do better. The offense can't keep putting them out there with after 19-second possessions and the defense having to go right back out there. I mean, yeah. it's not working well. But, I mean, Rutgers is going to be a challenge this week. I realize, you know, Tulane and Howard are not great, but, you know, South Florida's not a bad program. But if you look at what Rutgers has done defensively, the strength of that defense is their defensive line. They're ninth in the country in rush defense. They're giving up 59 yards a game. Some of that's the offenses that they played, yeah. The schedule. But they have a pretty – I mean, they're giving up 8.3 points a game. They have a stout defense, at least statistically. So the idea – it helps having Tyler out there, but the idea that Arkansas could, like, just come out here and light them up for 50, I don't know that that's the case, but I do think it's a very winnable game for Arkansas. And thank God for Arkansas, Rutgers has the 103rd pass offense in the country.
Yeah, they're a running team, but at the same time, they are balanced. If you look at how much they run it and how much they throw it, it's mm-hmm. it's pretty close to 50-50, but certainly their running offense is better than their passing offense. One more point on the defense. I said on Sunday on the Pig Trail in the roundtable discussion with Aaron Peters and Mike Irwin, Aaron asked, if you're Paul Haynes, what would you do? What would you tell Paul Haynes right now? And I said, throw it all out.
Yep.
Wipe the board clean and start over. When I was at practice yesterday, I got the impression that they're doing that a little bit. They did some work. You know, we're only allowed to watch the first 20 minutes. Just FYI, we don't get to see everything. Mm-hmm. But they were doing some work with Tank back at defensive end and some certain formations, which looked like passing situation formations. They moved Nate Holmes, freshman running back, to cornerback. They're trying to get some more bodies, some more athleticism to that position, which we all know is a deficiency, especially now that Tevin Mitchell's out for an indefinite period of time. Mm-hmm. The free fall of Darius Winston continues because even without Mitchell, he was running second team yesterday, and true freshman Will Hines was opposite of Kalon Kelly-Brew with the first team. But most importantly, the way I heard the defensive coaches talking to the players was different. It was more intense. It was more fiery, particularly from Paul Haynes. I was over watching when he was working only with his safeties. Other positions were off doing something else. He was not pulling any punches with what he was saying. A lot of words I can't repeat right now, but frankly, I was glad to hear it.
Even on an internet podcast, you can't say the words?
My bosses may not appreciate that.
And my mom listens, so.
Yeah, my dad listens too.
I appreciate you keeping it clean. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned the energy level of the defense, because that was one of the defensive coaches, because that's one of the things I noticed and wrote about early in the season was, you know, Tabor Johnson's out there getting mad and ripping his shirt off.
Hulk Hogan style?
Yeah, or, you know, Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk style. You know, it seemed like there was energy out there, and these guys were really getting after the players. So it's interesting that you kind of see that ramped up even more. Hopefully that will work. You know, the one thing it all comes back to, since it appears John L. Smith will continue to be the head coach, and I think he should be, a lot of it to me comes back to when he was hired, he used to joke, I'm just here to stay out of the way. Let my coordinators coordinate. If that is in fact what he's been doing, and there was a moment in the game the other night where there were three linemen standing in front of John L. on the sidelines, and instead of saying, hey, you big lugs, get out of my way, I'm the head coach, John L. was caught just trying to peek around and over and through them. That would suggest to me he's not particularly involved. So if that's the case, he needs to get more involved. He needs to be more of a head coach, set that tone. Or, as someone suggested to me the other day, they, you know, have a source. Everybody's got a source, right?
Sure.
Who says that John L. has been overruling Paul Haynes and Paul Petrino and meddling. If that's what he's been doing that's led to these two losses, then John L. needs to get the heck out of the way and let the coordinators coordinate. I suspect it's the opposite of that. I suspect he has not been involved enough.
It is interesting when you watch – when you're at the game or even watching on – well, you pretty much have to be at the game because if you're watching on TV, you can only see what they're showing you. But if you're going to the game, watch John L. because I don't really see him doing a whole lot. I don't see him getting in players' faces after bad plays. I barely see him high-fiving players after good plays. He just kind of seems to be standing around. The only time I ever see him get truly engaged is if it has something to do with special teams, which we all know is kind of his bread and butter. It's the reason Bobby brought him here in the first place, because he's great at special teams. But I don't know what he's doing during the game, because it doesn't look like a lot.
The interesting thing about this, I mean, John L's been in coaching for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
This was, I think, going to be his 18th or 19th year as a head coach. But he's had a pretty substantial break in his head coaching career from that awful end at Michigan State until now. And he was even out of the business for a couple of years doing talk radio in Louisville, I think it was. So I think he's kind of re-acclimating himself to being a head coach.
Yeah, but isn't that what camp is for?
Yeah.
Not the season, not the games that count.
Right. I'm not making an excuse. I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's just kind of the sense that I get as I watch, is maybe this had become so foreign to him. And then he was told,
it's got to be like riding a bike, right?
I don't know. And then he was told by Jeff Long, get out of the way. If he wasn't told in those words, that was the message that was sent, you know, at the press conferences and in the way that Jeff signed all the assistants to contracts through the end of whatever bowl they might go to. I mean, these guys are getting paid through the end of the season.
Right.
And so Jeff had made that commitment, and the whole thing of, we don't want to bring in an outside guy because we don't want to screw up the schemes. So, I mean, the message of John L. has been pretty clear from the beginning. Just stay out of the way, old man. You know?
Yeah, but, I mean, he's still the head coach, and at what point when you're 1-2 and coming off two of the worst losses in program history do you need to not do that and start doing something?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is like the time – well, we're past time.
Yeah.
But the time is definitely now. But I think that's part of the reason this thing is such a cluster, is because you had a guy, and maybe we should have seen it coming, who had such an extended break for being a head coach. Then you told him, not in so many words, get out of the way, old man. Just do interviews and be goofy. And up to this point, that's what he's done, and it's obviously not working. So it's now time to do something different.
God, I hope the goofiness is over. One more point before we transition here. We're not going to play revisionist history and pretend like we didn't think the John L. hire at the time wasn't a good idea, because, frankly, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was the best move Jeff Long could have made. Clearly, it hasn't worked out.
It's a failed – I mean, I called it this in my column on Tuesday. It's a failed experiment up to this point, but it made sense at the time.
It made a lot of sense at the time, and, you know, there's plenty of fans out there, you know, that are – calling for Jeff's job. This was a terrible move. There was no better move he could have made. No, it didn't work. Yes, you're in a bad spot now, but who are you going to hire in April? The answer is nobody that's employed, at least. So it's sad. It didn't work. But, you know, this is the bed you've made, so now you have to lie in it. All right, we're going to do something new this week. We're going to do some game picks. But before we do that, let's play a little game we call On the Spot.
Oh, boy.
Chris, I got this idea. This is actually an idea I've had for a hashtag I thought might get going on Twitter. But I'm not quite powerful enough on Twitter to get a hashtag really trending.
Yeah.
But my idea for the hashtag was Unpopular Opinions.
Okay.
So, Chris, tell me something that the general consensus is, oh, this band is great. That movie's awesome, this guy is cool, whatever, that you're the total opposite on.
The Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys. You don't like the Beach Boys?
I despise the Beach Boys.
You despise the Beach Boys.
And
really?
I understand, you know, Brian Wilson was a musical genius, and, you know, he did his drugs in the sandbox, and they recorded Pet Sounds, and it was an advancement in recording, and, you know, it's a landmark album. And there are several songs.
Rolling Stone ranked it the number two album of all time.
Several songs and albums they've done that are supposed to be groundbreaking and awesome. And I have given the Beach Boys time after time, and I've listened to, you know, and I have buddies who are into music. They're like, well, you got to get a good set of headphones and listen, because, you know, it's all in the background noise and how it was recorded.
The production values.
I don't get it. I've tried, and maybe, perhaps, Kokomo.
Sure. That's one of their last songs.
It's one of the worst songs ever.
I thought you were going to say it's the one you like.
No. It's one of the worst songs ever. It's one of the worst crimes against humanity ever perpetuated against man.
Aruba, Jamaica.
I'm going to punch you.
Ooh,
no, stop it.
Oh, my gosh. So is there any Beach Boys song you like? Is there one Beach Boys song you like? You don't even like Good Vibrations? That's a great song.
It's okay. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of there's one that I actually like, but I can't think of it off the top of my head, because you've now got the worst song ever. But that's my point, and we talked about this with Billy Joel a couple weeks ago.
I still hate you for that.
I don't understand. Does someone's – I swear to you, I will unplug the microphone. No, do not do it. I swear to you. I'll walk out. I'm walking out. I'm leaving.
What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing, Chris? He literally walked away. You can't even listen to this song. What if Jesse and the Rippers from Full House sing it? You hate it? You can't even listen?
Stop! Make it stop.
You're like a child.
Oh, I can't. So my point is, that to me destroys every good thing about the Beach Boys. And there are very few redeeming qualities I find with the Beach Boys.
That's a good answer, because that is an unpopular opinion. I'm not going to say they're my favorite band ever, or even that I listen to them regularly. Yeah. But I like the Beach Boys. You know, I think they're really talented. Some of the vocal harmonies they did were just amazing. You know, those guys could sing so high. They had such great range.
God Only Knows and...
What about Get Around?
Get Around. No, it's terrible.
You're terrible.
I'm serious. They just absolutely make my skin crawl.
That's crazy. All right, let me give you mine. And I'm sticking with music.
Okay.
Bruce Springsteen. Nope, don't get it. I just don't get it. Are there Bruce Springsteen songs I like? A few. The only one I probably keep in the rotation on my iTunes is Born to Run. That's probably the only one like I really like.
I have that song.
I feel like you have to grown up in New Jersey to get it.
I don't get it either.
It's just not for me.
I can't.
And people worship the ground this guy walks on. Like, he's the all-time greatest.
Right.
And apparently his live shows will change your life.
Right.
Maybe. I don't get it.
I would go to a Bruce Springsteen show just because I've heard how great he is live. I even there's a music channel that I have that played a Bruce Springsteen show. So, like, Springsteen play, and I'm with
apparently
you.
They're really long. He just plays marathon sessions.
Well, that's what I was – like, I agree with you. I don't get it. So, but he'll play like a 2.5-hour concert. So, on this music channel, they put commercial – they did commercial breaks. So, I watched this. This was 5 hours of my life that I devoted
– You watched the whole concert.
– to trying to get it. And I just don't – it was kind of corny. It's corny.
Speaking of corny, this song is corny. Hold on, let me pull this up here. This song is corny.
Yeah, but this is like actually like a protest song. This isn't even like everybody says it's like this message of patriotism, and someone was it Ronald Reagan that used it for his campaign?
That sounds about right. Actually, one of my favorite Bruce songs is one that I think he performs it, but it's more famously performed by Manfred Mann and the Earth Band, and that's I'm making myself mad. Blinded by the Light.
Oh, yeah.
Great song, but I like it better when Manfred Mann performs than Bruce Springsteen. So, it's a little game I like to call Unpopular Opinions. I'm glad we agreed on that one.
Yeah, totally agree with you.
I don't get it. And, you know, I went to college at Syracuse. I went to college with a lot of New York, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and especially New Jersey kids that just obsessed with this guy.
Right.
And maybe you have to grow up in Jersey, because he references, you know, he's from Asbury Park and he references all these local things that might be nostalgic for these people, but it's not. There are people from all over the country and all over the world that like Springsteen.
Neither one of them are sitting here right now recording the show, Graham.
Nope. So, unpopular opinions, and I disagree with your Beach Boys take because they're talented.
I didn't say they're not talented. They're just awful.
That's harsh. All right, let's do some game picks before we get out of here. Arkansas, the line opened up. Arkansas actually favored by 5 over Rutgers. Are they going to win the game? Are they going to cover the line?
Yeah, I say Arkansas wins.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find a reason to be optimistic.
I really don't know. If Tyler plays, I feel like they're going to win. And if they win, they'll probably cover because I don't see them winning by 3.
Yeah.
So I just don't know how the team can play any worse than they've played. They can only go up. So I feel like a good performance will win the game on Saturday. So we agree Arkansas is going to win and cover. Florida giving 24 to Kentucky. Kentucky's pretty bad. But 24 seems like a lot for a Florida offense right now.
Oh, it does seem like a lot, but Kentucky's so terrible. I say Florida covers.
Dang it. I was going to say Florida covers. All right, we're agreed twice in a row here. I don't know. They scored quite a bit against Tennessee, and I feel like they've kind of got some good mojo going right now. And then,
oh, and by the way, Kentucky's terrible.
Yeah, if anything is going to get your offense going, it's Joker Phillips' defense. This is a much more competitive game. Carolina -10 against Missouri. And I believe that game is in Columbia. Let me double check that.
Well, yeah, of course it is.
Look at you. I'm at Columbia, South Carolina. And it is. It's in Carolina.
I'll take Carolina. But you said Carolina's favored by 10?
Yes.
But they don't cover.
Okay, so you're taking Missouri in the points then?
Yep, taking Missouri
in
the points.
Good, because I'm taking Carolina to cover.
All right.
Because Connor Shaw's back, and that defense is nasty. And Missouri's not ready for – South Carolina's a great environment. That's a great, yep, tough place to play. This is another interesting game with a real big line. LSU at Auburn and given 21, 3 touchdowns in the Tiger v. Tiger matchup.
I will take I'll take LSU.
Man, we really should talk about this because I think LSU covers as well. Auburn is pretty stinky.
Yeah.
Their defense isn't going to do a whole lot to slow down.
Is that the technical term, by the way?
Stinky?
Stinky?
Yeah.
That
is the technical term. And then Auburn's offense is – you feel like you've gone back in time when you watch it, and not in a good way, like before the invention of the forward pass. And then put that up against LSU's tenacious defense.
Right.
I don't think so. Even at Auburn, which is a great environment as well, Jordan-Hare is an awesome place to see a game. LSU's going to roll.
Speaking of going back in time, you have to go back to 1914, Missouri City of the Mimes.
School of the Mimes.
School of the Mimes. City of the – wow, that'd be even cooler. What if it was City of the Mimes?
Mimes as in like the guys that were –
yeah, that'd be the worst. We'd need to nuke that place.
Should we mime our podcast?
Couldn't be any worse.
It'd basically be silence.
Missouri City of the – school. Why do I keep saying City of the Mimes?
I don't know.
Missouri School of the Mimes. I completely
Mines.
Screwed this up.
M-I-N-E-S.
I was gonna make a really good transition. I mean, even the one that discovered this, I looked this up in the press box. 44-0. That was the last awful shutout loss at home by that big of a margin, and the Alabama game eclipsed that. 52-0. That's awful. That's historic. That's the thing. These haven't just been losses. These have been historic
Bad.
Losses.
Yeah, two of the worst losses in school history.
Which I think Auburn is headed for this weekend against LSU.
All right, one more SEC game that we have a line on. Georgia giving 16 to Vanderbilt, and that game is in Athens. Vandy, which we talked about at length a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
is only 1-2. So they're off to a disappointing start.
I'll take Vandy in the points. Were you going to do that as well?
I was pretty torn on this one. I could have gone either way. So since you're taking Vandy in the points, I'll take Georgia to cover, even though I was singing James Franklin's praises a couple of weeks ago. All right, so to recap, we both have Arkansas covering. We both have Florida covering. You took Missouri in the points. I got Carolina covering. We both have LSU trouncing Auburn, and then we're split on Georgia Vandy. You've got Vandy in the points. I've got the Bulldogs. All righty, we're getting close to an hour here, so that's about time we wrap it up. And Chris, I've got one more thing I'd like you to think about.
No, I do not like you to do that.
And it is this.
This does not make me smile.
Smile! Ooh, I won't. Actually, let's do one better. Let's get Jesse Katsopoulos involved.
Well, yeah. Now, this is the other thing. This is, like, there is a generation of people who only know the Beach Boys for this awful song and being on Full House with Uncle Jesse.
I hope Derek Ruskin is listening right now because he's loving it. If you want to know some guy about somebody that loves Full House, it's yep. Derek Ruskin.
I mean, it's a fantastic show.
Or Saved by the Bell. That guy knows everything about Saved by the Bell. And I know a lot about Saved by the Bell.
You know, Niall Davis tweeted the other day that he felt like they were in hell?
Yeah, he was asked about that.
That makes me feel like.
Really?
Yes. Dude, I'm serious. Like, people don't understand the effect that awful, awful song has on me.
That's weird, man. Yep. You're a weird guy.
I'm trying to think. I was going to send people out. There are a lot of songs with the word smile in the title.
Go ahead.
I would say Smile from Tupac and Scarface, although that's not like a really uplifting song. But Smile, that's in the title. So go listen to that. What about you?
The song I thought about was, you seen the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, but a long time ago.
You remember at the end when they like go off into the sunset in Toontown and all the cartoons are singing? It's like, smile. Da, 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 da. That's what it made me think of because John L. is a cartoon character.
Smile. Oh, here we go.
You got it?
I think so.
Yeah. Crank that. There it is.
Hang on. I got it.
This is John L.'s theme song. Speaking of Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Remember Jessica Rabbit?
Yeah. She was a cartoon character.
Yeah, I know. I knew a girl in college that dressed up as Jessica Rabbit on Halloween.
Yeah.
She won a costume contest because
yeah.
She could wear the dress right if you follow my logic here.
I hear what you're saying, and I saw that kind of creepy...
Hey now.
Creepy-looking...
Creepy?
Look. I can't even describe it.
I'm creepy
people.
Now?
The look you had on your face was a little lecherous.
All right. We better end this.
Okay.
Are we going to give them homework again this week?
We
talked about The Wire and Arrested Development. You got any homework?
Yeah, and I didn't really do The Wire justice last week. It's a great drama, 5 seasons, explores the drug trade in Baltimore, also how it's connected with the political scene, journalism.
Schools.
Yeah. It's right up my alley. It's a very, very dramatic show, well-written, good acting. Lots of great characters you'll get invested in. So watch The Wire. What else?
So you're doubling up on The Wire. It is that good.
Only
it is
because
that good.
We got so sidetracked talking about Arrested Development. So, yeah, The Wire, I'll tell you what. If you're listening and you like Springsteen or the Beach Boys, I would say your homework is to get me a list of 5 songs of each that I have
yeah,
to listen to.
Send it our way.
I'll give it another try, but I still think it's going to be awful.
But don't send me Thunder Road and 10th Avenue Freeze Out, all the songs we know. Send me something that I probably don't know that might change my tune on Springsteen. And the same with Beach Boys for Chris. For my homework, I'm going a little off the wall, and this is not going to be as wide-ranging as The Wire or Arrested Development because this is a pretty wacky show. It's one of those 11-minute shows you see late at night on Adult Swim. You know what I'm talking about? That you know the network, Adult Swim?
I've never.
You've never watched Adult Swim?
No. I mean, I know it exists.
You need to broaden your horizons. There's a show, it's not on anymore, but they show reruns sometimes, or you can get the DVDs. It's a show called Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job. It is extremely bizarre, but there is a brilliance and a genius to it, and it is absolutely hilarious. If you watch it and you hate it, I won't blame you because it is not for everybody. But give it a shot. Give it a shot.
What is it?
It's called Tim and Eric Awesome Show, Great Job.
Okay.
And the title gives you an idea for how wacky it is.
All right. Kind of John L. Smith-esque.
Yeah, but much better executed than John L. Smith's humor.
Okay.
All right, what's coming up with the 360, Chris?
Well, you know, us going over the betting lines reminds me every Friday we have Saturday Roulette from Doc Harper. It's a, quote, fantasy betting column. Mm-hmm. It's for your entertainment purposes only, although if you wanted to take those and try to make money, feel free. So we have Saturday Roulette every Friday. We'll preview the Rutgers game. Jim Harris has his weekly top SEC power poll. And I'll have a column, just kind of looking, a pregame column on Friday, hopefully up by noon, for you people trying to get out early, just kind of looking at what this game means for Arkansas and how much of the season probably rides on the Rutgers win. I'm not breaking news here, but it'll be wonderfully written, as always. What about you, Adam?
Well, regardless of the record, the Razorback Nation's extensive television coverage continues as always. You know, our Gear Up for Game Day show is at 10:15 on Friday nights. Initially, it's been intended that we were going to do all of them out on Dixon Street, out in front of the theater there. Why can't I think of the theater?
The Walton Arts Center.
The Walton Arts Center. I don't know why I couldn't think of that.
You know,
it's rained every Friday night, so we've been inside.
Really?
Yeah. So hopefully it's not raining Friday. Please come out, you know, make signs, come stand behind us. You know, if you had a funny enough sign, we might even put you on, interview you on TV. Same for Saturday morning. We have our game day show from 11 to noon, which is northeast of the stadium, kind of right beyond that parking lot in front of the Tyson Poultry Science building on kind of the horseshoe on top of the hill. We encourage all of you to come out, come be on TV, come chat us up. We love to talk with the fans.
No, they don't. They're very standoffish.
Hey now, don't you be putting words in my mouth. Yeah, so the Razorback Nation, you know, we're covering it better than everybody else, so on TV.
Right.
Yeah, KNWAKARK all weekend long. Parting thoughts.
Follow Adam on Twitter, at Adam_Alter.
That's
right. He's just a few off of 2,000 followers.
I'm a few off of 1,900. So I'm 100 and a few off of 2,000. But I'm not going to come out. I'm not using this to troll for followers.
Yeah, I'm doing it for you.
Okay, well,
follow
thank
Adam.
You.
Help him get to.
Well, don't
to
follow
2,000.
Chris because he's already got almost 8,000. So he's got enough.
Follow at ArkSports360 on Twitter for breaking news. Join our Facebook page, ArkansasSports360.com. And come find us on MySpace.
Does that still exist?
Yeah.
Friendster, you on there too?
No? Yep.
All right, my parting thought is very simple. Smile! Or don't. I don't care. This is the show, Graham. For Chris, I'm Adam. See ya.